Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Joined on our hotline by Kevin Lockett, one of the inductees into the 2024 class of the Kansas State Sports Hall of Fame. Kevin, welcome to our show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. So how's it feel to go into the K-State Sports Hall of Fame?
Kansas Hall, right?
Well, it's pretty exciting. Obviously, you know, when you walk down the hallway and look at all the great names of people that are in the K-State Athletics Hall of Fame, it's pretty daunting. And so to be added to that list, I am humbled, I'm gracious, and just extremely thankful for my experiences on that campus.
So obviously you're not a legacy. Your kids and your nephew are legacy players at Kansas State. So what did you tell them over the years about your experience at Kansas State, and what can you tell us about your experience at Kansas State, and particularly what drew you to that program initially?
Well, you know, what initially drew me was obviously, you know, Bill Snyder. He's a very compelling individual. And so when I made the decision to go there, you know, I think that kick-started what people call a legacy at Kansas State. And so over the next 5 years, I think my younger brother really just saw not only how I developed both in the weight room and on the field, but also off the field. And so when my brother Aaron got an opportunity to be recruited, his last two decisions came down to Kansas State and Tennessee. And again, Tennessee was at the time of Peyton Manning and many others, and he chose Kansas State mainly because of what he saw with me. You fast forward about 10 or 12 years or so, and my oldest son, Tyler, was now being recruited and had the opportunity to figure out where he wanted to go. And again, he grew up in that K-State locker room, and so having the chance to, again, play for Bill was a comforting decision because he knew what he was going to get. And then obviously our kid Sterling, who's there now, our middle child, you know, he's grown up a Wildcat, bleeds purple. And so when he got the chance to come out of high school and play for Kansas State, he left at that opportunity as well.
Kevin Lockett is our guest, a third team All-American in 95 and 96, first team All Big 12 in both of those years. We talked earlier in the show, you weren't there at the very beginning of the Bill Snyder tenure, but you were there at pretty much the beginning of K-State really starting to become a national powerhouse. What do you think made that happen? We know certainly Bill Snyder's coaching, but why was he able to attract the kind of players like yourself and others who vaulted K-State into the national discussion?
Well, you know, I think it started with his earlier classes, 89, 90, 91. And I think what he did with those classes was he really began to set the culture for what a winning program could potentially have. I came in the class of 92, and I think that we were sort of a pivotal class because we were sort of the class that where things started to actually turn around in terms of actual wins on the field. For four straight years, our class was able to finish our season in a bowl game, and we won 38 games over the course of that four-year period. And so, you know, I think what Bill did is he got players like myself, not necessarily highly recruited, kids that had a chip on their shoulder, kids that believed that they could play at a higher level than they were being recruited at. And he did what he does best, which is develop young men. And that is why the program, I believe, ended up being rewarded, is because his staff did a great job of taking good players and turning them into great players. He today is still the best that I've seen at getting the most out of every single player. And so it's that culture that allowed us to become a national powerhouse.
You obviously have Sterling there now. Tell us about his football upbringing. And also, do you see any of Bill Snyder in Chris Klieman?
Yeah, so I'll start with the latter part. I see a lot of Bill Snyder and Chris Klieman. It's probably not fair for Chris and for what he's building as his professional coaching career to be compared to Coach Snyder, but they're very, very similar. They believe in the development of young men, and that's how they build their program, is to really work hard and build up kids and develop them in the weight room, in the classroom, and then obviously on the practice field. And they invest heavily in those young men. I think what Chris has done is really taken what Bill put in place as the foundation, and he's now taking it to even a higher level. I mean, if you really think about it, they come into this season ranked somewhere in the top 15 or 17 with a legitimate chance to win the Big 12. Some are even calling them the favorite. With the expanded college football playoff to 12 teams, there's a real chance that Kansas State ends up in the college football playoff. And once you're in the playoff, anything can happen. So being a national contender today, a lot is due to what Chris has been able to do in terms of building on what Coach Snyder had originally put in place. In terms of Sterling, I think he's just extremely excited. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's played very, very little up until this point. Obviously, there are a lot of expectations when he made the commitment to come, but we all begin to mature and develop into our games at different times. And so, as a redshirt sophomore, I think Sterling's ready to play now, and I think he'll have a role starting tomorrow night against UT Martin. So, just as excited as the fans are, I am just as excited as well to see Sterling out there running around, having a chance to try and help his team out.
Yeah, still a young guy, and your son Tyler Lockett started slowly as a freshman at K-State. Maybe some people would forget that, but became certainly one of the all-time greats and a fantastic NFL career. And he never tells you he's better than you, does he?
No, he doesn't have to now, because all he does is he just points to the different lines throughout the record books, and I continuously find myself at number two, behind him at number one. So it's a little running joke inside between us, but they always talk about records are made to be broken, and as long as I and everyone else likes to hold on to them, if someone's got to break them, who better than to break them than your oldest kid? So. Actually, it's a proud dad moment every time I look in there and see that I'm number two.
Yeah, what is that like? Because I guess my dad and I, I've obviously exceeded what he's been able to do in this
profession. I'm his dad, by the way. And...
but to see Tyler just become a star in the NFL, I mean, to outsiders, that's like, it's like bigger than life almost, but that's your son. So how do you take that all in?
Yeah, it's. I quickly got to the point where I really wanted to enjoy all of Tyler's success, both at K-State and even in the NFL, purely as a dad. I think you talk to most parents in the world, and they'll tell you that some of their greatest joy is seeing their kids have certain accomplishments. And so I did really want to look at it as a dad. And so I didn't do a lot in terms of trying to direct him or coach him unless he came to me. And so what's really neat about that is it started at K-State, where we'd have these weekly calls and he'd send me different videos of film and ask for my recommendations on how to beat a certain guy or how to read a coverage a little bit better. And to be honest, he's going into year 10. You'd think that'd stop after he was named All-Pro. And here we are 10 years into his NFL career, and it still happens on a weekly basis. He shoots me a couple of videos via phone of practices or other team, and he's really just trying to get additional insight. So, as a dad, it's just an incredibly proud moment to know that, here's a kid that's completely surpassed everything you've ever done, yet he still finds great value in coming back to the well trying to just get more and more insight to ultimately allow him to become a better player.
I hope my son took that all in. I'm not sure he did, Kevin. So you played at K-State as a receiver with Chad May, Matt Miller, Brian Kavanaugh. We just saw that evolution of really good quarterbacks happen under Bill Snyder. It just got better and better. You didn't get Michael Bishop. Do you ever regret that? And tell us about those three guys, May, Miller, and Kavanaugh, and their abilities.
Yeah, no, I don't regret it at all in terms of not being able to play with Mike. And Mike's a fantastic, fantastic guy. But I wouldn't trade the three quarterbacks that I had for the world. I mean, you know, Chad graduated or transferred in from Cal State Fullerton. They were closing down their program. And I think Chad was probably one of the first true gunslingers that Coach Snyder had underneath his leadership. And so having the chance to start my career with Chad for my first 2 years really allowed me to, you know, grow into my own game, because a lot of times Chad would get me out of certain situations when my route wasn't as good or I was a little bit late on timing. He'd get me out of it with a perfect throw. And then I graduated into my junior year with Matt Miller, transfers in from Texas A&M. Matt was just an incredibly, incredibly smart quarterback. And that's really where I started to take off, was my junior year. And then obviously I finished my senior year with Brian Kavanaugh, who I'd been at K-State with for the previous 5 years. And Brian's story is absolutely fantastic. You know, walk on that comes in, does what you're supposed to do, puts your head down, and just works hard the entire time. Eventually his time comes, and Matt gets hurt in the Holiday Bowl, Brian's junior year. Brian goes in, leads us to victory. And then my entire senior year, Brian is our quarterback, and we have a fantastic year, winning 9 or 10 games. So I wouldn't trade the three quarterbacks that I had for the world. Great experience. They all like to throw the ball. Unlike Mike, they didn't really want to run a whole lot, which means if you don't run a lot, that means you throw a lot. And so for me to catch a bunch of passes, I like the guys that like to stand in that pocket and throw it.
So, Kevin, my daughter just started at Kansas State as a freshman this year. I don't think she's headed to the opener on Saturday, but I know she's going to be going to a lot of games at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. What was unique for you about the game day experience as a player, and then I guess as a parent, but also kind of as a fan?
Yeah, two completely different experiences. You know, as a player, you know, obviously Coach Snyder's just known for having these meticulous schedules, and we had no idea all of the festivities that really took place in terms of tailgating and the radio shows and all of the things that happened before our actual football games. And so as a player, the experience was just incredible, because we thought we were on top of the world. That's when the first press box was built in 92. And we thought our stadium was big time, and to have 35, 40,000 fans out there every week was just incredible. You fast forward to me coming back during Tyler's time, when the facilities have been upgraded quite a bit. Now you have 55, maybe 60 at times, 1,000 people in there. To experience all of that post my playing career, it's just a different world. You know, I've done a radio show at times before the game. I go out and bounce around some of the tailgates, and that's one of the unique benefits of being a former player that can be recognized by a lot of the fans. You know, you can get a lot of free food and drink before the games if you want by just bouncing around a few of the tailgates. So, you know, I really try to take it in now, just as a fan, as a dad who still has a kid playing, because the K-State football experience on game day is very unique, and it's second to none.
Final moments here with Kevin Lockett, going into the Kansas State Sports Hall of Fame. Of course, had a storied run as wide receiver at Kansas State, played in the NFL with the Chiefs, the Commanders, the Jaguars, and the Jets. So tell us about what you're doing now, Kevin. I know you've stayed in the area. You live in Kansas City. You've had a really successful run. Tell our listeners what's going on with you.
Yeah, for the past 13 years, I've been on the investment side in venture capital. where with my two partners, we've been doing early stage investing, drawing on our ag roots from Kansas State University in early agriculture technologies. And so have really deepened my relationship with the university post my playing career, and really just drawing on a lot of the incredible knowledge and intel that comes out of that university. And we're investing in early stage companies with very promising technologies in that space that we hope to grow, that will completely shift the way agriculture is done and our food is grown in the future.
I'll bet that's not something you thought of when you went to Kansas State, was it?
Not originally. I went as an accounting and finance guy. But if you spend time on campus there, you learn just a little bit about corn and soybean and animal production.
Well, it's been great catching up with you. Congratulations on this terrific honor. And to everybody else who's going, this is one heck of a class. You guys will have a lot of fun talking to one another.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate it. And thank you guys again.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.